Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, I totally agree with Fred in the Flathead here. He just messaged us on the Montana Talks app talking about this mess in the state legislature in Helena. Where are we with property tax relief? One of the headlines that came out, I think this was Friday, was wild week for property tax bills at the Montana legislature. You had a property tax relief bill here, boom, get shot down. Property tax relief bill over there, boom, shot down. So are they going to deliver on property tax relief? Look, even if some of these proposals make it through, everything I'm reading about property tax reform in the legislature right now, I still think we have got to have we the people stand up and fundamentally reform our property tax system here in Montana. This is the message from Fred in the Flathead. All of the growth in taxable residential units is likely the source of the state surplus in Helena right now. And then Fred adds this, if the legislature can't secure real property tax relief, perhaps it is time for a serious ballot initiative. Fred, I agree with you there, but I would add, even if the deadline here, now that we're within 2 weeks of when the legislature should be wrapping up, should be adjourning, when they start to run out of calendar days, I hope that the deadline will force them to finally get together and deliver real property tax relief. But even if they do that, we still have to fundamentally overhaul our property tax system. The fact that we tax people on the value of their home instead of what they actually bought their home for, it's an unrealized gains tax, if you ask me. They're taxing you for what something is worth rather than what you paid for it. So just because the value of your home went up didn't mean that the value of your bank account to be able to pay the property taxes went up. But Fred says this, if the legislature can't secure real property tax relief, perhaps it's time for a serious ballot initiative. I would argue that whether they secure real property tax relief or not, it is time for a serious ballot initiative, because this has been a problem in Montana since the 1990s, if not earlier. It's going to continue to be a problem unless we fundamentally overhaul the property tax system all around. Now they're not even talking about Plan B. They're talking about Plan D. I saw this in Capital Talk, which is Montana Public Radio. Sally Mock hosts that. I think Lee Banville from the University of Montana School of Journalism was pointing this out. Or maybe it was Holly Michaels. Plan D. Senate Bill 542 from State Senator Wiley Gault out of Martinsdale. Basically, it would just freeze property tax values for 2 years. But anyway, I know they are still trying to work some of these other property tax relief bills through the legislature here in the final few days. But, man, what a train wreck. All of these, Thursday, it was so frustrating, just maddening to watch as these nine Republican state senators voted repeatedly with the Democrats to constantly raise the spending. It's insane.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. The skies remain cloudy today. We'll see some scattered rain showers in the form of some wet snow in some areas towards Bozeman early on. High temperature readings will otherwise range from about 48 in Bozeman to the upper 50s in the Billings area. For tonight, still some possibility for a few rain showers early, then headed back in the mid-20s in Bozeman, mid-30s in Billings. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
It's April 21st, and this is your Fox Daily Snapshot. Today is National Kindergarten Day, the birthday of German educator Friedrich Froebel. Kindergarten is actually German for children's garden. He started the first play and activity institute in 1837. Also on this day, the first confirmation of exoplanets happened in 1992. A Polish astronomer announced he found two planets. Exoplanets are those found outside of our solar system. We head to the Scottish Highlands in 1934. The Daily Mail published the surgeon's photo, that famous picture of the Loch Ness Monster, Nessie, as she's also known. Of course, it would turn out to be a hoax, a toy submarine with a neck. Prince died in 2016, or the artist formerly known as Prince. He did it all. Singer, songwriter, producer, actor. And let's not forget, he could play 27 instruments. I'm CJ Papa. That's your Fox Daily Snapshot.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August. Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen, and subscribe. Ed.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
You know, it's interesting. I was reading some of these stories about we have measles in Montana. There's measles cases in Gallatin County, Montana. And I noticed a convenient fact was left out of some of the news coverage. Some of the news reports left out what I thought was the most interesting fact in that whole story. Yeah, Montana health officials, I got an email from Kelly in Glasgow Friday afternoon. Of course, I was taking the day off, but I saved this email here for Monday morning show. And big thanks to David Noble for doing a great job filling in on the show, as always, an extra special Freedom Friday. But I don't know if this story came out as of Friday morning or if it came out later in the day Friday, but Montana health officials announced five confirmed cases of measles in Gallatin County. The Montana Department of Public Health and Human Services, along with the Gallatin City County Health Department in Bozeman, confirmed that it is the first instance of the highly infectious disease since 1990. Now, my first question when I saw this story was, I wonder how we got measles in Montana. What has changed since 1990? I mean, the Fauciists, the Fauci cult members would tell you, the COVID cultists on the left, they would say, well, it's because people aren't vaccinating their kids. Okay, but again, how did measles come into Montana? There's been, you know, a certain slice of the population that hasn't vaccinated their kids for a long time now, since before 1990, since after 1990. So that has always been there. But again, how did measles get into Montana? And there was one line, this must have been at least the initial reporting that I saw, or maybe it was the full press release that first caught my eye. Here is the key line. The individuals are children and adults who were exposed to measles while traveling outside of Montana. Anyway, Kelly in Glasgow says, gosh, I wonder how the measles snuck back into the United States. And then, interesting side note, I think the Bozeman Daily Chronicle recently reported that, remember that first case of coronavirus, of COVID-19 in Montana back in March of 2020? We heard at the time that it was somebody who worked for the Montana University system that had been traveling abroad that contracted COVID-19. But recently, the Bozeman Daily Chronicle also included the fact that that person had traveled from China. A big surprise there, of course. But yeah, it's What the Democrats and the media and the left has refused to acknowledge is the fact that by opening up our borders, they have opened up our borders to everything, not just to the rapists and the murderers and the MS-13 gang members, but to a lot of diseases that we thought weren't in this country anymore. Phone lines are open for you. Let's go to Francis in Big Fork. Francis, great to hear from you. What's on your mind this morning?
Well, I was listening to the Montana C-SPAN. It's on, if you get Spectrum, it's 191. And how terrible. These guys, Democrats and our rhinos, and you have one from Glasgow, I understand. Anyhow, so I think it, they don't have any intentions of giving a tax relief. Those guys keep voting down everything we want. And I think, and I'm also very mad at this judge. I think all of us women got to get together and do some kind of petition against the one that want men and boys' bathroom and girls' bathrooms. It's insane.
Yeah.
And
yeah, so you mentioned... So
can you imagine having us move into your bathroom with our hairspray and and all this stuff? Wouldn't you be and taking up all the stools and...
Hey, that's fine. I'm okay if the ladies' room line is too long and you need to crash the men's room. You know, we'll look the other way. We'll be fine. But it's the men in the girls' locker rooms and the men in the girls' bathrooms that is just such so
that
crazy.
That is really sick.
So outrageous.
And you know, you got little 3-year-old kids. And can you imagine what a man, if he wanted to rape a 3-year-old, that would rip him apart?
That's what was so sickening out in Virginia, and what led to all this outcry at these school board meetings was the fact that, you know, you had, you know, boys identifying as girls, and then this one boy committed a sexual assault against the girl in the girl's bathroom, and then the school board covered it up, kept it quiet, and moved the kid to another school where he committed another similar horrendous offense and sexual assault. But back to the legislature, yeah, you were talking about, this is State Senator Greg Hunter out of Glasgow, and I just don't get it. Here you have, you know, Senate President Matt Regeer, the Republican Senate President, offered amendment after amendment after amendment to reduce the massive spending that was taking place last week in Helena. And the 9 so-called Republicans that have been voting with Democrats on rules and committee assignments and things voted with the Democrats to shoot down practically every amendment that was offered. And so here they are massively increasing spending in Helena while failing to deliver on property tax relief, failing to deliver on income tax relief, failing to deliver on judicial reform. And yet in the Daily Interlake today, they have a piece. Well, I'll tell you about it after this. So, Francis, hold that thought. I'll read from their op-ed right after this.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Profit, greed, getting rich. You ask people what the problem is with healthcare, and these are the answers you often hear. Simple explanations, heroes and villains, big pharma, insurance companies, middlemen. I probably won't convince you otherwise in the next 30 seconds, but think about this. Doing well by doing good, making money by providing things of value, is the driving force of economic prosperity. To turn it around the other way, if inventing a better mousetrap does nothing to benefit the inventor, don't count on any inventing to be done. It can work that way in healthcare as well, but the incentives have to line up. And with third-party payers dominating how things are paid for in healthcare, they often don't. Worse is when incentives reward things that are actually bad. Medical providers, many of which are large companies, are rewarded from getting more money from government programs like Medicare, more complex diagnoses, more wasteful tests. Incentives are what need fixing. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
It's Fox Wheels.
Automakers report a big jump in auto sales as rush buyers try to beat the tariffs. Nationwide, dealers saw a 10.7% increase in auto sales in March compared to the previous year. Cox Automotive also reporting that after months of consistent declines, that wholesale used vehicle prices are on the rise again, up 4.3% so far in April. The report shows the day's supply of new cars and trucks dropped from 90 91 days at the beginning of March to 70 days this month. Used vehicle days supply, which had already been low, have declined by 4 to 39 days. Many automakers built up inventories of imported cars and trucks prior to President Trump's tariffs on imports. Some have held vehicles in ports or halted them, as General Motors has been increasing some U.S. production and upping output. That's Fox Wheels. I'm Jeff Manasso, Fox News.
It's morning in Montana. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, so this is three of the nine, as they're being referred to. This is State Senator Josh Kaffsmeyer out of Fort Benton, State Senator Gail Lammers out of Hardin, and State Senator Greg Hunter out of Glasgow. And at least two of these districts are two of the most conservative districts in Montana. But here's the deal. The headline in the Daily Interlake is this: Republicans need to unite for Gianforte's agenda. That's the headline of this guest opinion column from Kaffsmeyer, Lammers, and Hunter. But yet, the governor just had a press conference on Thursday where he reminded the legislature what his priorities are. And one of those key priorities is limiting government spending. So if these three state senators claim that they are supporting the governor's agenda, then, well, first off, by voting with the Democrats and by teaming up with the Democrats, well, that hasn't helped to deliver property tax reform yet. That hasn't helped to deliver across-the-board income tax relief yet. Certainly it hasn't delivered the governor's income across-the-board income tax relief bill. So if you're supporting the governor's agenda, then why aren't you supporting the governor's agenda and getting the governor's agenda across the finish line? But second off, you know, of the five bullet points that the governor had on a big, you know, whiteboard standing next to him at the press conference was limiting government spending. Well, these three senators, along with the six other so-called nine, voted repeatedly against every amendment offered by Senate President Matt Regeer, the Republican Senate President, to reduce the massive overspending that the Senate was voting on. Spending that goes above and beyond what Governor Greg Gianforte proposed with his budget. So, again, if you're going to author a guest opinion column for the Daily Interlake saying Republicans need to unite behind the governor's agenda, well, then why are you voting for the Democrats' agenda, for the Democrats' spending? Why aren't you saying, hey, look, we're going to support our Republican caucus in peeling back any of this spending that goes above and beyond the governor's budget? In this guest opinion column, they write this: as conservative Republicans, we are committed to seeing Governor Greg Gianforte's agenda become law this session. The governor has outlined multiple conservative priorities that some Republican leaders, both within and outside the legislature, have stymied at every step. Republicans should be united around delivering meaningful, immediate property and income tax relief for Montana homeowners, families, and small businesses, not infighting and pursuing backdoor deals with Democrats. Well, aren't you guys the ones that are doing the backdoor deals with Democrats? Not even just backdoor deals, openly voting with the Democrats on every spending amendment that came forward. So, if you're going to write a guest opinion column, I'm going on a little long here. If you're going to write a guest opinion column telling Republicans to unite behind the governor's agenda, well, stop voting with the Democrats to undermine the governor's agenda. 406-294-0970. Next up, we got Annie in Billings. Annie, thanks for the call. What's on your mind?
Good morning. Thank you. I'm calling about a couple different topics, the first one being on the water bills. Initially, the city got an estimate of $33,000, and then when they asked for additional audit, we were charged $75,500, and it seems to me that something's amiss. They only checked 40 water meters. That's a huge amount per each water meter. It said it's 98% accurate. And so I'm wondering, if that's accurate, why, if you go back and look on bills a year ago, the usage is not any different, yet the water bills are higher. So I don't feel that we got an accurate assessment at all, because our water bills are still high, and they're higher than last year. It doesn't make any sense to me. We have 130,000 population in Billings, yet they checked 40 meters. Something seems amiss.
On that front, by the way, I ran into a Billings City Council member, Jennifer Owen, recently, and I was asking her, I said, hey, this was a while ago, because I remember, what was it, 2-3 months ago now, some of the local Billings news outlets had a story about how they did this massive audit, they did this audit on the water usage in Billings, because people got hit with massive increases on their water bills, which, after you're already getting hit with massive property tax hikes, to then get hit with a massive water bill is just insanely frustrating. But the headlines that came out of it said, oh yeah, they had this outside firm do this audit and they didn't find any problems. And Jennifer Owen's like, no, they did find problems. They did find problems with the way the city handled that, and the city not identifying those issues early on, and they found problems with the way the whole new system was implemented. There were a lot of problems, but for some reason, local media just ran with the idea, just ran with the nothing to see here folks kind of coverage.
Right, but the water bills are still high, so I mean, they didn't correct anything, yet we were charged $75,500 to this firm. So it just doesn't make any sense. The other thing is, an article came out that the median average rent in Montana was $1,600 per month. So at $1,600 per month, that's $4,800 per month you have to have for an income for three times your monthly rent to qualify. Yet you would need an annual income of $57,600. I think in Montana, a lot of people do not have that income. So where are they supposed to live? That seems to me like that's excessive. So with high rents and high water bills, I mean, for a lot of people, that's a real problem.
That's
especially
right. Yeah.
During billing.
Yeah, that's right, which is another reason why we need across-the-board income tax relief, why we need to see significant property tax relief. I like the fact, I forget who I was talking to, and it was State Senator Greg Hertz out of Polson. He wants to see this relief, especially the income tax relief, get backdated to the first of this year so that people don't get hit. I like the fact that Senator Wiley Gault out of Martinsdale is talking about a plan D, as in Delta, for property tax relief, saying, look, if the legislature can't agree on some significant form of property tax relief, at the very least, we need to freeze property taxes from any increase here over the next 2 years. And so, because it all starts to pile up. And you think about it, Billings is considered to be a more affordable city town than some of the others, like, say, Bozeman or Missoula. Annie, thanks for the call. Great to hear from you. 406-294-0970 is the number for you. If you got something you want to talk about as well, love the phone lines open heading into the 9 o'clock hour as well. All right, let's get into some of the big national news stories. Did you guys see this Democrat Senator Chris Van Hollen out of Maryland? He never spoke up for actual Maryland constituents, actual Maryland citizens who lost loved ones who were killed by criminal illegal aliens from El Salvador. Oh, but now that an MS-13 gangbanger gets deported back to El Salvador, oh, all of a sudden he's so concerned for the illegal alien. He did an interview. Let's see, who was he on with yesterday? Okay. Oh, he was on Fox News Sunday. So Senator Chris Van Hollen was on Fox News Sunday, and he confirmed that, yep, you, the taxpayer, paid for his little junket down to his little photo op down to El Salvador.
Who did pay for this trip?
This was an officially cleared, congressional trip, cleared on a bipartisan basis. Yes, like every other trip.
Yeah, taxpayer dollars paid for this little stunt that guy did to go down and meet with an MS-13 gang member. By the way, did you guys see the latest photo that the Trump War Room was sharing on X? They showed a photograph. Apparently, Kilmar is his name, the MS-13 gangbanger who got deported back to his home country of El Salvador that everybody's crying about here. Kilmar, apparently when his legal team shares photos of him, they never show his hand. They never show the tattoos on his fingers because the tattoos on his fingers are very clearly an MS-13 gang tattoo. And, of course, MS-13 is a foreign terrorist, or has been designated as a foreign terrorist organization as well. So, yeah, they never want to show you the photo of the actual MS-13 gang tattoo on his fingers. But yet they want to paint the picture of, oh, he's just a good dad from Maryland. No, he's not an American citizen. But yet, listen as this same Maryland Democrat senator refers to Kilmar as an American.
I think at some point the president of El Salvador realized it was looking really bad to have this person who had been absconded from America, from the streets of Maryland, in one of their prisons.
Yeah, it sounded like he was kind of stumbling there and tried to backtrack after he referred to Kilmar as an American. That was from ABC's This Week. Meanwhile, Tom Homan, the border czar, Tom Homan, had this to say about Chris Van Hollen going out of his way on the taxpayer's dime to go meet with an MS-13 gang member.
What bothers me more than that is a U.S. senator traveled El Salvador on taxpayer dime to meet with an MS-13 gang member, public safety threat, terrorist. I mean, in the meantime, the day before he traveled, an illegal alien was arrested for murder, released to the streets rather than honoring an ICE detainer in his very own state.
All right, and then Tom Homan has a must-hear follow-up question that the media should be demanding answers to, but they won't. So anyway, we'll get to that right after this.
Big topics, big ideas, big sky, Montana talks.
All right, so you got this Democrat Senator Chris Van Hollen out of Maryland refuses to speak up for the angel moms. These are the moms who had their loved ones, had their daughter killed by a criminal illegal alien. And viciously sexually assaulted by a criminal illegal alien from El Salvador. Where was her senator, Chris Van Hollen, then? That's one of the questions that border czar Tom Homan had for Van Hollen on ABC's This Week. And Van Hollen should have gotten hammered by every single news anchor that he did an interview with this weekend.
What concerns me is Van Hollen never went to the border the last 4 years under Joe Biden when he had a 600% increase in sex trafficking of women and children. You have a record number of non-inspected terrorists crossing that border. You had 250,000 Americans die from fentanyl overdose because of the open border. You had over 4,000 illegal aliens died making that journey, which is an historic record. What shocks me is he's remained silent on the travesty that happened on our southern border. Many people died. Thousands of people died. I met with hundreds of angel moms and dads who buried their children that were murdered by an illegal alien. How many angel moms and dads has he met in the state of Maryland? That's what concerns me.
Great question. Tom Homan, also on ABC's This Week, had this to say about all of these hardcore criminal illegal aliens that are being deported to El Salvador, not just to El Salvador, but being housed in the prison in El Salvador as well.
I believe we're removing public safety threats and terrorists, designated terrorists, to that prison in El Salvador. Trinidad Agua MS-13 has been designated a terrorist organization. What you don't know, what most readers don't know, they haven't seen the experience that I've seen in my 40 years. I started on board in 1984. I've talked to young girls, young as nine, that were raped by members of these gang cartels. I've held dead bodies throughout my career. I've talked to 100 angels and moms, angel moms and dads, whose children were killed and brutally murdered by members of MS-13 who just didn't kill them. They mutilated them. They tortured them. So if people wore my shoes for the last 40 years and seen the travesties I've seen, they would understand that the worst of the worst need to be sent to a prison like that, because we got to protect American citizens. We got to protect this country.
Yeah, but of course, here is an MS-13 gang member who's got it written on his fingertips, basically, for the world to see, who is being treated like a hero by Democrats. I mean, Bernie Sanders, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, when they were rallying in Missoula last week, their loyal followers at that rally in Missoula were cheering along as AOC and Bernie Sanders railed against the deportation of these criminal illegal aliens like old Kilmore Garcia here. But Montana's U.S. Senator Tim Sheehy, he posted this video on X, which also got shared by the Trump War Room, saying that Kilmore is no hero.
Just a few short years ago, let's not forget, the Democrat Party insisted that all women must be believed. Believe all women without exceptions. If they make an accusation of sexual assault, sexual harassment, or violence against them, they are to be believed, full stop, no questions asked. And that drove a national narrative for year after year that frankly took on massive consequences for the country. Now, of course, today, 2025, things have changed. The Democrat Party does not want to believe the accusations that were found true by multiple judges and law enforcement in the state of Maryland, a deep blue state, that Mr. Garcia, a violent criminal illegal alien, was committing violence against women, was a member of a violent gang, and was here in the United States illegally. They've chosen to not believe women all of a sudden that this man is violent and dangerous, and now they'll fly halfway around the world, spend taxpayer money to try to bring him home and protect the rights of him while not protecting the rights of the daughters and the wives and the mothers and the families who have been impacted by this violent monster. So remember that here at the midterms, folks. Remember that the Democrats will bend over backwards for illegal immigrants while they sell you out.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And then their base will sit there and cheer them on. And we saw that on full display at the Bernie AOC Lifestyles of the Rich and Socialist rally in Missoula last week. By the way, I know David Noble brought it up on Friday. I tweeted this news out on Thursday afternoon. Did you hear how much money Bernie Sanders and AOC have been spending to fly around on private jets? They covered it on Outnumbered Friday afternoon, a great little montage of both Bernie and AOC, you know, lecturing everybody about how bad it is to be rich. And, you know, AOC is on the record criticizing corporate CEOs for flying around on private jets. But it's all cool for her. All cool for her. I'm going to have that coming up for you in the 9 o'clock hour of the show. Plus, we're going to have, I think I'll kick off the 9 o'clock hour with this one. You know, I was talking about property taxes earlier. Kendall Cotton, who is the CEO of the Frontier Institute, a free market think tank here in Montana, he went on AI, used an artificial intelligence. I think he used Grok, and he asked Grok to write a song for him about property taxes in Montana and how hard, you know, how high these property taxes are. And the song is actually pretty stinking good. It's a country song, all created by artificial intelligence. I'll kick off the 9 o'clock hour with that one here in just a few minutes. Back into the phone lines we go, 406-294-0970. We've got Willie in the Paradise Valley. Willie, what's going on?
Well, first thing that's going on, it's snowing real hard, so it's spring here in the Rockies. But
really?
Second thing
it's sunny outside
our
studios.
You probably heard about that, yeah, that MS-13 guy's wife, you know, turned him in for beating her up and stuff, and now all of a sudden she's flip-flopping like John Tester on her story, and I bet she's either been threatened or getting paid off.
Well, yeah, I mean, think about it. If your significant other was a member of a foreign terrorist organization and a hardcore gang like MS-13, she knows what they do to people. So, yeah, I mean...
Right.
No matter what he did to her, you think she's gonna say any of that publicly now? Man, A, the money they're probably getting as a result of this campaign to make this Kilmore look like a hero, and then B, the threats that she would get from MS-13 if she actually told the truth right now. Yeah.
Yep. And there's another Democrat senator that said he's going to go down there to some woman that's going to take a trip down there to do the same little grifty deal that the last guy did.
Oh, yeah, they're all going to do it now. It's going to be, this is their latest junket. They all got to go to El Salvador and get their photograph. And, oh, look, we met with Kilmore. And you see the photographs of this guy. And, you know, I mean, he's living very well. He's living very well. But they make it sound like this. Oh, this poor MS-13 gang member.
Well, look at all the money they're spending. They could put that towards people that need some help right now. But they're spending our tax dollars on running back and forth to El Salvador.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. Well, we've had a legal...
Sad day of affairs, but all we can do is hope things get straightened out.
That's right. Well, Willie, great to hear from you. I was in your neck of the woods over the weekend. Had a great Easter weekend and snuck into Yellowstone Saturday morning. And then
nice.
Since we're just among friends here on the radio, I probably better not post anything online so that, you know, the outsiders find out about it. But so we started the morning. We, you know, got up, had some good coffee, of course, made some breakfast, went into Yellowstone. It was getting to the National Park Free Day. That was nice. And then we thought, you know what, a friend of ours said, you know, I haven't been to Jardine in like 40 years. So we drove up that dirt road up to Jardine, old mining town above Gardner. And it was, the timing was perfect because they were testing out their buck and bronx there in Jardine. So they had like a little rodeo going on. So we got to go watch a little bit of some buck and bronc action. And then off to Chico after that. But what a Saturday.
What a neat day.
It was really cool. You know, just up there high in the mountains, you know, and you could, you know, in the middle of the pine trees, seeing some cool rodeo action. It was incredible. All right. Well, Willie, great to hear from you. Thanks for calling in. Speaking of MS-13 and these deportations, how many Native Americans have been deported? Does anybody know? Yeah, I think the answer is zero. Zero. How many Native Americans, how many indigenous people, whatever term you want to use, how many Native Americans have been deported? Remember when the media in Montana was freaking out? Oh, Native Americans are going to be deported. Oh, give me a break. Give me a break. That's how far they go to try to protect these criminal illegal aliens that have actually been targeting Native Americans. But listen to these nut jobs on MSNBC. This is this was a Daily Caller story here. I think she was on MSNBC, or was it CNN? It was a Daily Caller story. Simone Sanders is her name. So the people that lied about Native Americans being deported, now they're saying black people are next. Black people are going to be deported. Oh, give me a break. No wonder black and Hispanic people are fleeing the Democrat Party in droves.
Waking up on the right side. This is the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
In one incident cited in the referral, James claimed she lived in Virginia so she could purchase a home in Norfolk, Virginia, while serving as the New York Attorney General, where she is required to reside for her job, claiming that she lived there. In a separate incident, she allegedly, that's what the allegation is, misrepresented the description of a property that she owns in Brooklyn, New York, to meet requirements for a government-backed loan. And based on media reports, James has, in multiple instances, filed falsified bank documents and property records to acquire government-backed assistance and loans on more favorable terms. Pam Bondi, the Attorney General, said that we will be reviewing it.
From coast to coast, from sea to shining sea, it's the Sean Hannity Show.
Artificial intelligence, AI, it's all you hear about. But how far away is it? And what are the potential threats from AI that could totally upend the way Americans live their lives? What will it do to the job market? What will the unemployment rate be? What does it mean for data privacy or cybersecurity? How about the banking system or national security? The ECB has already warned about a bubble in AI stocks. Could this spread to other sectors? If you have $50,000 or more saved for retirement, this may not be the time to wait and find out. Learn how you could help protect your life savings using precious metals like gold and silver. Right now, you can get a free gold and silver kit from the top-rated precious metals company, Goldco. On top of that, you could get up to a 10% instant match in bonus silver with a qualified account. Visit HannityGold.com or call 855-815-GOLD. One more time, visit HannityGold.com or call 855-815-GOLD.
This is Poll Parade with Fox News Director of Polling, Dana Blandon.
One of President Trump's strengths during the election was immigration, and that's holding true, as 56% approve of the job he's doing on border security. That's higher by double digits than any other issue we asked about on our Fox News survey. And it makes sense given how popular some of his immigration-related proposals are with voters. 66% favor making English the country's official language, and 63% support deporting immigrants living in the U.S. illegally. That's 11 points higher than in 2015, around the time Trump suggested deporting millions during his first run for president. There's been a shift in the opposite direction on Trump's attempt to end birthright citizenship. Two-thirds of voters think if an illegal immigrant has a baby while living in the U.S., the child should automatically become a U.S. citizen. That's up 20 points compared to years ago. Our most popular proposal is go to foxnews.com/poll. I'm Dana Blanton. That's your poll.
Montana Talks, uniting the Treasure State, one conversation at a time. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
Oh, apparently Simone Sanders is an MSNBC anchor. See, I didn't know that's true. Did she replace that other racist that got finally kicked off of MSNBC? Did they replace one racist with another? MSNBC anchor Simone Sanders claimed on Saturday that the deportation of Salvadorian citizen and suspected MS-13 gang member Kilmore Abrego Garcia was just one step on the road towards the deportation of black citizens. Oh, for Pete's sake. Here you go.
Kilmore Abrego Garcia's specific case, the case of the gentleman who's a makeup artist out of California who was also sent to that prison. That is why the 75% of the folks who have been sent, the men who have been sent there that don't have criminal records, that is why this is so important. Because if they could do it to them, if they could snatch students off the street without any pushback or recourse, they will do it to any of us. To be very clear, it's going to be the people of color and vulnerable communities that are next in line.
Oh, for Pete's sake, give me a break. I mean, should anybody even respond to that kind of nonsense, especially when we saw the abuse of American civil liberties during the last 4 years? And by the way, black voters at increasing numbers are pushing towards the Republican Party. Donald Trump did very well with black voters. I mean, that lady's just full of nonsense. Let's go to Ron on the road from Laurel. Ron, what's your thoughts this morning? Ron, are you there? I can hear the traffic in the background. Are you still there, Ron?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Yeah, go ahead. What's going on?
Well, I think the Trump administration made the right decision by grabbing him and deporting him and sending him back where he belongs. He was an illegal alien. He does not have the rights a U.S. citizen does. He's got no rights as far as being an American.
Yeah, and there's 15 million plus that were flooded into this country, and now they're trying to slow walk getting any of them out of here, much less the hardcore, MS-13 gang members, right? Yeah, Ron, thanks for the call. Good to hear from you. Let me sneak on another caller before we run out of time this hour as well. We've got Sven in the Flathead Valley. Sven, thanks for the call. What's on your mind?
Well, you know, all this stuff going on with the legislature and nobody doing their job. I used to work for a politician for 13 years, and I knew him before then. And he was sitting there talking to one of the guys one day, and he said, I don't really have to do nothing. I just have to look busy. Huh. Kind of funny. Anyway, the reason we're having such a problem with all these legislation people and stuff, you have to remember, we're dealing with a public erection. And some of these people in the public erection are political prostitutes. And now you can't tell what, who, they'll say one thing and do another. So here we are with the two-faced world of the human, you know?
Well, that's why when we see all of this massive spending and every effort to try to peel it back, to try to reduce the spending, I mean, it's such a slap in the face to all of us as Montanans. You know, like Annie and Billings was talking about water bills and then property tax bills and then income taxes. And it's like they're sitting on a massive budget surplus. And everybody and their mother is apparently coming to them with ways to spend that money. And they're just saying yes to it. The Democrats and a handful of Republicans are saying yes to it. And they rejected every amendment by Senate President Matt Regeer to peel this spending back. Now, and again, that's my message to these nine Republican state senators is like, if you claim to be supporting the governor's agenda, then why are you voting in support of spending that goes far above and beyond the governor's proposed budget? I mean, and even some people like the Freedom Caucus and others thought that even the governor's budget was a little too much. And you guys went above and beyond that. So if you're going to go out there and lecture your fellow Republicans about standing united behind the governor's agenda, then lead from the front. Reject the massive spending that you just voted for last week. There's still time. Still about 2 weeks left of the legislative session. All right, the AI Montana Property Tax Country song up next.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Profit, greed, getting rich. You ask people what the problem is with health care, and these are the answers you often hear. Simple explanations, heroes and villains, big pharma, insurance companies, middlemen. I probably won't convince you otherwise in the next 30 seconds, but think about this. Doing well by doing good, making money by providing things of value, is the driving force of economic prosperity. To turn it around the other way, if inventing a better mousetrap does nothing to benefit the inventor, don't count on any inventing to be done. It can work that way in healthcare as well, but the incentives have to line up. And with third-party payers dominating how things are paid for in healthcare, they often don't. Worse is when incentives reward things that are actually bad. Medical providers, many of which are large companies, are rewarded from getting more money from government programs like Medicare, more complex diagnoses, more wasteful tests. Incentives are what need fixing. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.